10 o'clock service ever, and you are in it. First service was a pretty good crowd as well. So, you know, I'm kind of curious to see how it's going to end up. You know, someone asked me, they said, man, are you going to be okay with this? I'm like, listen, man, I used to preach to 3 people. Like, it doesn't, 3 people, 300, doesn't bother me. The message is still going to be the same. And I'm not a guy that changes things so people be more comfortable, but I really hope that, you know, I hope you're liking these new little services. You know, the way I looked at it is I thought, you know, the people that are on time to the 9, like they have no problem being on time to 8:30. But I know that some of y'all are the 9 o'clock couldn't make it on times, and you're like, 10, that's my service. I can finally do it. It's good. So I'm proud of you guys for making it on time. We only had one person that came in at 9 o'clock in the first service, and it was a visitor, but that's fine. Okay, you guys ready for this sermon? Yeah. All right, let's get into it. All right, Father God, we love you, we praise you, we glorify you today in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's alive and that it's active and that it's sharper than any double-edged sword. God, we pray today that you would use this word to change us, to challenge us, and to convict us. Father, we so desperately need you to speak into our lives, God. We need transformation, and it can only come from you. And so, Father, would you just do that this morning, Lord? Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 4, starting in verse 12, it says, then a man of Benjamin ran from the battle line the same day and came to Shiloh with his clothes torn and dirt on his head. Now when he came, there was Eli sitting on a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. When Eli heard the noise of the outcry, he said, what does the sound of this tumult mean? And the man came quickly and told Eli. And Eli was 98 years old. His eyes were so dim that he could not see. Then the man said to Eli, I am he who came from the battle, and I fled today from the battle line. And he said, what happened, my son? So the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there's been a great slaughter among the people. Also, your 2 sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God has been captured. Then it happened, when he made mention of the ark of God, that Eli fell off the seat backward by the side of his gate, and his neck was broken, and he died, for the man was old and heavy, and he had judged Israel for 40 years. Wow. So that's a story. we've been going through the book of 1 Samuel, and if you're just joining us for the first time, let me bring you up to speed here. Eli was a priest in the temple of God. His sons were doing bad. Samuel goes as a prophet of God and tells him, stop doing what you're doing. He doesn't stop what he's doing. Last week we talked about this big, huge battle of Israel, and Israel had 34,000 people that died. And so this is the follow-up from that, where Eli's there, the battle goes, and now this is the aftermath of it. And the aftermath of Eli was that he ended up not doing what he was supposed to do. And so he's suffering the repercussions of it, right? Israel loses 34,000 people. Eli's 2 sons, Hophni and Phinehas, die. And so now he's suffering under all of these decisions that he made. And because of that, we're going to look at it today, and we're going to see the problem that Eli had and how in his life and what we've been able to see that we can fix things about our lives and not end up in the same way that Eli ended up. Because here's the end of it, is that we all need to make a decision of who we're going to be and how we're going to live, whether or not we're going to listen to what God is asking us to do and fix those things that God is asking us to fix. So let's get into it. The end result is that Eli is a dunce, man. That's why the sermon is titled, Don't Wear the Dunce Cap. You're going to see it. We're going to get to it. Let's just get into the scripture this morning. So the first thing I want to talk to you about this morning is this, is do not be spiritually blind. We see in Eli's story is that he's there, and it's funny, the two different scriptures, the way that it is, because it says that he was sitting on a seat by the wayside watching in verse 13. But verse 15 says Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were so dim that he couldn't see. Did you notice the two different parts of the same story? On one side, he's there watching, And the other side it says, but his eyes were so dim that he couldn't see. Yeah. Well, come on, man. Which one was it? Were you watching or were your eyes so dim that you couldn't see? Because if you don't understand the way that battles worked back then, is that battles back then are not unlike the Civil War battles, where people could come and they could sit up by the wayside and they could watch what was going on in the battle. They could sit up on the hills and watch what was going on. So here's Eli sitting up on side of the hill, according to the scriptures, watching. And then after the battle, when they come and they talk to Eli and they want to talk about what he was what had happened, Eli says his eye, or the scripture says, and his eyes were so dim that he couldn't see. And I'm like, Eli, were you faking it? Were you faking that you could see, or are you faking that you can't see? Yeah. Yeah. Which one is it? Because you can't have it both ways. Either you were watching or you couldn't see. Yeah. Now, many times within the Bible, physical blindness equates spiritual blindness. And I'm not exactly sure if that's what the writer was saying in this moment. But what I will say is that Eli was spiritually blind as much as he was physically blind. And the reason why I say he was spiritually blind is if we follow the trajectory of the story, Eli had God speak directly to him and tell him exactly what he needed to do. And he chose to make a decision and say, do you know what? I'm going to ignore what God has said. I'm not going to make the changes that God has asked me to make. So much so that I'm actually going to lead other people into my destruction, watch them die, have an opportunity to repent. And then after 30,000 people die because of my disobedience, I'm still going to play this game that I didn't know what was going on. If that's not spiritual blindness, I don't know what is. Glaucoma is the leading cause of blindness in the U.S. Over 3 million people have it. How do I know that? I Googled it this week. tell you one thing, I definitely didn't Bing it. You know, does anybody Bing it? Come on. You work for Microsoft. Of course you do. It's cut off. Nobody Bings it. I love you, Russ, but nobody's Binging it. What's interesting about glaucoma is that you can have glaucoma and the symptoms of it, and you don't even realize it. The process of becoming blind with glaucoma is a slow, slow process where there's symptoms. Amen. I want loud kids ministry. Let them do it, man. Go, go, go. You can have the symptoms of glaucoma and not even know it and be moving towards blindness, where if you're not paying attention to it, you're not going to your eye doctor and they're not checking your eyes, you can end up totally and completely blind, and it's irreversible because you didn't watch the symptoms that were happening around you. The Bible says in Isaiah 42:7 that the Messiah would come to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. And I will tell you that that's still the mission of God today, is that God does not want any one of you to be spiritually blind at all. We serve a God that can cure spiritual blindness. Amen. Jesus said in Mark 4:12, so that seeing they may not see and not perceive, and hearing they may not hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. What does that mean? God wants us to see. He doesn't want us to be spiritually blind. And through Jesus Christ, we have opportunity to be able to get our spiritual sight. Amen? Amen? My question to you this morning is, are you spiritually blind? Are you faking it? Are you playing the Eli game that is, on one hand, you're like, well, I was watching, and the other hand, being able to say, well, my eyes were so dim that I couldn't see. Because spiritual blindness ends in destruction. I mean, you guys heard the end of the story. Eli's going to die in this story. And I believe, and some people say, well, you know, 98, he was ready for his time. Dude, there's people in the Bible that lived for hundreds of years during this time. He could have had a lot more years. I believe that his death was part of his punishment for the life that he had lived at this time. Are you faking it? Do you sit up and look like you're seeing, but you're really blind? See, what's interesting about a blind person, a real blind person, not a spiritually blind person, but a real blind person has no shame in handing their arm to somebody else and saying, tell me where I need to go. They don't have so much pride in their heart to say, you know what, I realize that I'm blind, but I want to do this on my own. No, see, the spiritually blind, for whatever reason, want to continue to fall down a spiritual flight of steps. They want to spiritually run into poles. They want to spiritually fall into caverns. They want to spiritually destroy themselves because they're unwilling to just put out their arm to somebody and say, you know what? I'm spiritually blind and I need you to lead me. You know, spiritually blind people would do a whole lot better to just put somebody else in the position of making decisions for them. To say, you know what, man, this is an area of my life where I am spiritually blind and I just need you to tell me what to do. Just lead me. Just take me along. And in this individualistic American culture in which we live, nobody likes anybody to tell them what to do. Right? People want to know why is there so much traffic? Because people are individuals and they don't want people to tell them what to do. They're at work all day long having somebody tell them what to do and they're like, I'm going to be in control. And then they want to fight with everybody on the road, feeling like they're in control instead of just hopping on a bus or a train.
It's true.
Yeah. Instead of just saying, you know what, man, there's a better way. And spiritually, sometimes for some of us, there's people around you that just are not as spiritually blind as you are that can be leading you into greater places. Yeah. And I say that with full assurance of understanding of like, there's areas in my life where I have spiritual blindness. But what I don't do is I don't ignore them. I surround myself with other men that I can talk to and say, you know what, guy? Like, dude, this is an area of my life where I just need you to help me. I need you to tell me what to do. I need you to call me out. I need you to help me because what I don't want to do is I don't want to fall into spiritual destruction. Jesus came to cure spiritual blindness. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified in faith by me. Spiritual blindness is curable by understanding that Jesus Christ came to save sinners so that you can live the abundant life. That's the easy, and it talks about even Paul, how the scales were lifted off of his eyes, that he could see the truth of God's word. And if you don't know the truth of that, if you haven't received Christ as Savior, I pray that you would do that today because God wants you to walk in spiritual sight, not in spiritual blindness. But blindness is rampant in this day and age. It's just everywhere. Many people think they know the truth, but they're utterly and completely blind to see it. They're blind to their own spiritual condition. They're blind to their own need for a Savior. They're blind to their own depravity. And so you end up around people like myself who wants to show them their depravity or show them a way to the Savior. And it comes across as like judgmental. It comes across as mean where I'm like, listen, dude, all I'm trying to do is help you to see the light of Christ. I want you to live the God life. I want you to see the best thing that life has to offer. You know, I've shared this with you before. I've got people in my life that aren't believers. And they will look at my life and they'll say things like, it's just Matt, you know. He always comes up roses. And I'm like, the only reason why my life comes up roses is because of Jesus. Amen. The only reason why I have any measure of favor on my life is because of Jesus. I can make bad decisions and things can go the wrong way. And because I am submitted to God, God will turn those things around and turn them to good. It's funny. People say that verse, say that God turns all things together for good. And he does for those that love him. You can't have that promise and expect that God's going to turn it to good if you don't love God. But if you love him, I believe that any calamity could befall me in my life and God will take care of it. God will take care of every last detail of my life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Can I share a story with you?
Yeah.
All right. Now, I think I might have told this story before a few years ago, but there's a lot of new people. The new people love this story. Old people are like, he's telling that old story again. So I was in the Army, and I served 6 years active. And I became a sergeant, and part of the sergeant training is that you have to do this thing called land navigation. And land navigation is you have this thing called a compass, and they give you an azimuth. And an azimuth is a direction. And so you get an azimuth, and they say azimuth, you know, 47 degrees and 785 yards out. And then you march, you know. You got your count step of how many hundred yards it takes. Then you get to that point And then you write down what you get there. And so you go out on these training areas that are square miles, and you go and there's a post there and it says like E49 or whatever. And then you write it down and then you have to bring it back and show it to them. And they say, hey, you did it. You did a great job. Now, it's not hard, but it's not easy. I mean, you get the training, you do it. And it's pretty satisfying in the middle of the day to, you know, you're just kind of walking out in the middle of the Texas training areas and you're finding little nav points. It's great. Now, as part of being a sergeant, you got to learn nightland nav. Now, nightland nav is a little bit different because it's night, right? I mean, you don't have, like, day, you can just look at a tree and just march towards the tree and then it's there. At night, it's a totally different animal. You have to, like, trust your step count. You have to trust your azimuth and all these other things. Now, I always tell you guys these things about me, and if you use them against me, you're going to get a finger to your throat like that, because I always like to be vulnerable, but I don't like you guys to use my vulnerabilities against me because that's rude and mean, and I am keeping count. So, I hate the dark, okay? I'm afraid of the dark. Like, I'm 43 years old, and I'm a big guy, but I despise the dark, okay? You go to my house, I've got lights on all around it. I've got lights on inside of it. I love big light. Even you come down to the church, there's lights everywhere because I hate the darkness. Hate it. So, I got to do nightland nav. And they put us in the back of these big trucks. They're called 5 tons. And we're in the back of this truck going out to the dark night land nav place. Now, the Blair Witch Project had just come out. And for those of you that don't know, that's a horror movie and it's really scary. And so we're in the back of this truck and everybody starts talking about the Blair Witch Project. And luckily it's dark so they can't see how scared I really am. Right? And I'm just back there. I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, this is not going to go well at all. So we get to the place and we get out and there's, you know, a few hundred people because we're all doing it together. And they hand us our points and they tell us what they need to do. And I was like, whoa, Roger, Sergeant, I'm on my way. So I go over and I get into the bushes about 100 yards away and I just get down. And I stayed back there for about 2.5 hours. About 100 yards from, because I could see the lights, like I knew where everybody was. I am not marching 1,000 yards out into the middle of some Texas field in the dark. It just ain't happening, man, at all. So I hid inside of the bushes. I literally sat down and was just like as quiet as I could be. It's dark, no, because you can't use your flashlight in night land nav. So I'm like, they ain't gonna see me. And so I hid in the bushes. And then I waited till everybody started to come back. And then I like grabbed a guy. I was like, hey man, what'd you get for this? He's like, oh, I got this. And I grabbed another guy. I'm like, hey man, what'd you get for this? And I got this. And so then I go up to the guy and I'm like, so this is what I got. And he was like, man, where were you? This is totally and completely wrong. And I was like, oh man, I don't know what to tell you. I was out there looking for it, trying. Now, I tell you this funny story about how I failed you as a U.S. veteran, but the application hopefully isn't lost. Is that some of y'all are playing the night land nav with Jesus and hiding in the bushes. You're playing this game of like, well, I don't want to even embrace the darkness. I don't even want to go out there and try. I'm not going to go and do what you've asked me to do. I'm going to play dumb because I'm afraid, or I'm going to hide from what I'm supposed to do. See, I during that moment of my fear of the darkness, I never thought, you know, one, I'm going to do it so I can use it for a sermon example one day. But it sure does work today, does it not? Here's the second part of it. Don't be spiritually deaf. The same way that Eli was spiritually blind, I believe that he was spiritually deaf as well, because an interesting part of this story is that Eli asks, what does this tumult mean? And I'm like, seriously, dude, how could you not know? Right? Remember, you're either watching or not watching. You're there hearing 30,000 people scream in death. It's probably something that you would know what that means. We talked about last week how they shouted so loud that the earth shook. He just wants to believe that it wasn't what it was. Eli, you're being deaf here, man. You're pretending you didn't hear what you heard. You've been around, you know what death sounds like, you know what cheers sound like. And so he was there again, watching or not watching, spiritually blind. Here he is again, being spiritually deaf, pretending to be physically deaf. How can you not hear and understand what's going on, but you can hear the guy from the tribe of Benjamin talking to you? Which one is it, man? Can you hear or can you not hear? Don't play this game with me, Eli. He's like many people who listen but do not hear. Or they only hear what they want to hear and nothing else. Come on, Eli. Quit acting like you can't hear. You heard it and you know it. Did you know that hearing is a promise of God? That God said that I will speak to you and you will hear me? And Eli had been a priest in the temple of God. He had been there hearing from God. He was part of battles and seeing what was going on. And in this moment, he just plays the fool and pretends like he can't even hear. The Bible declares in Isaiah 35:5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. See, David said this. David said in Psalm 38:14, thus I am like a man who does not hear and in whose mouth is no response. What I like about that scripture is at least David could admit that he had some spiritual deafness. At least he could admit there was things that he didn't hear. But in this instance, I believe that Eli was acting the fool. He was pretending that he couldn't hear. Why was this such a large part of Israel's story so many times? It's because Israel refused to listen to the things that God was speaking to him. You notice that the story of Israel is the story of our faith. God speaks, the people respond, they fall into rebellion, then God speaks, and then the people respond, and then they fall into rebellion. And many times when God is speaking, we want to play this game to think like, you know what? I just didn't hear you, God. I can't even hear. And my question to you is, are you spiritually deaf? No one answered it. All right, let's keep going. If every single one of you would have said no, you'd be leaving right now for pancakes. Had a chance, but you chose poorly. You can sit here and listen to a sermon and not even really listen. Get off your phones. Listen to me. Because many times you come in here, man, this is the only time you're weak where you're actually not on your phone or talking to somebody or watching television or working. And then I come in here and talk and you just let your brain just like, I'm going to the fair later. Watching some football later. Tomorrow's work. This is what I need to do. Not even cluing in to what the... Because here's the thing I want you to understand about Bible preaching, okay? And this is where people get messed up. Matt is not talking to you this morning. God is talking to you this morning. This is why Bible preaching is such an important part of being a Christian. Because there's a supernatural thing that happens when a person comes up here and preaches the word of God to you. That the Holy Spirit actually speaks through this person to speak directly to you about your situation. If I say something that offends you, don't get mad at me. Get mad at God. Because it's God that's speaking to you, not me. I didn't wake up this morning and think, you know what, I was watching you earlier this week when you did that thing, and so I'm going to redirect the sermon so that you're going to feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit so you won't fall into destruction. I didn't do that this week. But God will redirect this whole entire message just for you if you would hear it. Yeah, but you have to hear it. You have to have spiritual ears to hear, to put yourself in a position to say, you know what, God, I want you to speak directly to me, and I'm here to listen. Whenever I go to service, even Wednesday night, I'm like, God, give me a word. Give me something. I need to hear something from you. But you can't play this game where you say like, well, you know, I don't think that God speaks anymore. God speaks every time the Bible is preached. And you've got to clue into what's being said. You can't just turn it off. Because if you're not clued in to what's being said, it's just like they say, right? In one ear and out the other. It doesn't go down inside of the spirit where you're like, okay, because like right now what you should be thinking is, am I spiritually blind and deaf? Are there things I don't see that I need to see? Are there things that I hear or things that I don't hear that I need to hear? Because if not, the application, if you're not getting it, is that you're going to end up like Eli. That's the application, right? Let me give you another story. So who remembers their first job? All right, half of you need to go back into the files. Okay. Maybe you've never had a job. You know what's funny is whenever I say the how many of you and raise your hand, some people will never raise their hand no matter what. I'd be like, raise your hand if you have a hand. People are like, not going to do it. Raise your hand if you hear me. They're just so afraid. They're like, I'm going to get volunteered for something. So my first job was bagging groceries. And has anybody else been a grocery bagger before? Yeah, so my first job was bagging groceries. And there was, now listen, I'm just going to be honest, tell you guys what the situation was. The grocery store that I worked at, it was called Arts Family Food Center. It's on Holman Road, North Seattle. They had this rule. And the rule was, is that the bagger wasn't allowed to talk to the customers. Only the checker was allowed to talk to the customers. Because they want the relationship to be between the checker and the baggers, because they figure baggers are, you know, casualties of war. They don't want them to build a relationship with them. Another rule that they had was you had to wear slacks. Okay. Another rule that they had is that guys couldn't wear earrings. Right. This is actually back when they actually told people what to do. And so I had some earrings back then. You know, I had a couple, two in my left ear and one in my right. It was pretty awesome. You know what I mean? Like that's how it was in the 90s. You know what I mean? Back in the 90s, dudes wore earrings, or at least I did. Now, can you just paint the picture of my 16-year-old self? I love my earrings. I love my clothes. And I kind of like talking to people. And so they tell me, you can work here, but you got to shut up. You got to take out your earrings and put on some slacks. Well, being the 16-year-old version of myself, and many of you would identify with this, is that, you know, little by little, you just kind of like, man, I'm going to talk to this guy, right? Little by little, I put on black jeans instead of black slacks. Little by little, I put on, you know, small earrings, thinking they weren't going to notice them. Come on. And then when the boss comes to talk to me, he's like, I'm noticing you've been doing a lot of this, not a lot of this. What? Right, you're a master liar at 16. You're like, what? And he's like, well, what about the earrings? What? You? The way I heard it was, no hoops. Oh, my gosh. Oh, so when you said slacks, you meant slack material. I just heard black. So I figured black jeans were just like black slack. Black, black, ring, ring, talk. I just didn't hear. And it was a lie. I was pushing the limits of Mr. Grocery Man. I had rebellion in my heart. I didn't want to follow the rules. I thought I was better than the rules, and I thought that I could pull one over on him. Who are you, Mr. Grocery Man? I don't need to put up with this for $4.25 an hour. Y'all will laugh, but some of y'all are just as spiritually rebellious. Well, I don't know. Like, I didn't see the part in here where it said no felony home invasion. I didn't. Didn't say we weren't supposed to light other people's houses on fire. Didn't see that. Oh, okay, okay. So we have to forgive everyone, not just some. Love every. Doesn't.
Come on. Yeah, come on. Come on.
Some people are just as spiritually deaf, man. Yeah. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:4, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Yeah. If you don't understand what we're doing and what I'm trying to get inside of you, some of you, and I don't mean this specifically, but I hear it from people that I literally will have people argue with me after service, thinking I'm being mean. I'm trying to protect you from falling into disrepair, man. I'm trying to make sure you don't fall aside to fables. The Bible says that they will turn their ears away from the truth, and I do not want that to be for you. You do not want to end up in that place. This is what the Bible says in Proverbs 28:9. One who turns his ear away from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. If you don't know what the word abomination means, it means really, really bad. So if you don't, if you turn your ear away from hearing good preaching, God hates your prayers. That's what that says. If you don't like to listen to what the Bible says about your situation, God doesn't want to hear your prayers. That's what the Word of God says. And how do you fight that spiritual deafness? You read the Word of God. You meditate on it. You make sure you know what it says about every last part of your life. And then you live like it, and you don't care what anyone else says about it, because it's true. Amen. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Here's the next point I want to talk about, Eli. Don't be spiritually blind. Don't be spiritually deaf. And here's the next one. Don't be spiritually stupid. Just don't be stupid, okay? Now, I know that some of you are like, why is he using the word stupid in church? Well, the word stupid's in the Bible. I'm going to show it to you in a minute. Some of you guys got your young kids. They're going to go today and like, what'd you learn in church? Stupid. Like, it's great. But here's the thing, is that when you look up this story from 1 Samuel and we talk about Eli, it says at the end that he was old and heavy. And it's not a fat joke. Like, they weren't. If you look at the actual definition of that word heavy, it's not about his weight. It's about his condition. It really is about him being a dunce. It's about him being stupid. The definition in the Hebrew says severe, difficult, stupid, slow, thick. The writer of Samuel is saying, this dude was stupid, man. And why was he stupid? Because he had all these chances to make it right, and he chose to not make it right. The ark wouldn't have been captured if he wasn't stupid. 34,000 people wouldn't have died if he wasn't stupid. His two sons wouldn't have died if he wasn't stupid. And he heard the audible voice of God correcting him, telling him what to do and how to do it. And he rebelliously chose to not follow the instructions of God. If that's not stupid, I don't know what is. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:1, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction, whoever hates correction is stupid. That's what it says. I don't know what happened to it. Where'd it go, Mike? There it is. This is the Bible, folks. This isn't my, people say, why are you using stupid? Because it's a Bible word. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. That means if you come in here and you hear Bible preaching and the Bible and the Holy Spirit corrects you in something in your life and then you get upset about it, the Bible says you're stupid. That's kind of mean. Yeah, it is. It should mean when someone gives you correction, or excuse me, when the Bible gives you correction, you should embrace it. Like if the Holy Spirit speaks something to you in a sermon and it corrects your heart, you should be like, man, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. I needed that. I needed you to correct me. I needed you to put me on the right path. You know, you want to change your relationships. Whenever somebody corrects you, just say thank you. Yeah. Don't argue with them. People want to get in the trenches about all this stuff. Your spouse says something to you and you know you're wrong. Just look at them and be like, thank you. Thank you. You know, the rare times that I'm driving, when Crystal isn't carting me around, I've been known to make a couple mistakes. And she'll be like, hey, don't do that. And my first thought is, man, I'm driving. Nobody else? You guys are always like, no, I'm in a love zone when I'm driving. I'm in battle. Back up. But what I really try to do is when Crystal give me that correction, I'll just be like, thank you. Because it usually is something that's going to like cost us life or limb. Thank you. The Bible says in Psalm 32:9, do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come to you. Animals are stupid, and they need to be bridled, and they need to be led. I know that people think that you think your dog is the smartest dog in the world. They're all dumb. Okay? I had a great dumb dog for 12 years. I love him. I miss Ranger. He was a great dog to us, man. But he was as dumb as a bag of rocks, man. But you sit there and you talk to them, they kind of look at you and they're like, no, when their ears do this, they mean this. I'm like, no, there's one thought. Food? Food. Maybe another word of walk? Walk. I'm sure they know walk and food. Those two ones are good. You know, we watched the Foster's dog a couple weeks ago. Dude, she's dumb as a bag of rocks. And people get this idea that they're like, is our dog missing me? I'm like, no, they're Team Cretunis now. Like, I know they've been with you for a few weeks, but now they're with us. It took 2 days to win them over. Completely forgotten the Fosters. Don't live in this fantasy world where you think your dog has some high level of intelligence. It just doesn't exist. All of you dog people are like, but not my dog. That's somebody else's dog. They're so smart. Why do they got to wear a leash? That's all I'm saying. Spiritual stupidity is clear instructions from God and no desire to apply them to your life. It's simple. Do things the Bible way, you'll get the Bible results. Right? Don't wear the dunce cap. 2 Timothy 3:7 says, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. See, I don't believe that the key to biblical understanding is a formal education. Am I against formal education? No, not at all. I have a bachelor's degree and I have a master's degree. I mostly got my master's degree because the army paid for it, and I figured when we planted the church, people would be, you know, less likely to challenge me if they knew I had a master's degree. You know, it's funny. Nobody asks about it anymore. Nobody cares. Still challenge me, but it's not because of my education. I know many people that have no formal education in the things of God and are spiritual PhDs 10 times over. Yes. You know, I use my wife, for example. Like, my wife has a bunch of college, but she has never taken a Bible class in anything, you know? And we've been around situations with people that got PhDs, and they'll say something, and Crystal, God bless her, we're like, that's not what the Bible says. And they'll kind of look at her and they're like, well, you know, in the second century, this guy's like, Chris is like, I don't care what the second century says, because in the book of Ruth, this is what it's, and they're like, what? And she's like, yeah, it's right here. She has clear grasp of the Word of God, deep knowledge, because she got born again. God downloaded that inside of her brain. Same thing with Pastor Jay. Pastor Jay, and I don't mean to put you on, he's a very educated man, but he never went to college either, right? He never went to college. Was in the Marine Corps. He's a lieutenant in the fire department, but he has such a deep understanding of the things of God and the Word of God because God downloaded those inside of him. Education isn't the key to spiritual growth, man. It's Bible education is the key to spiritual growth. Every single one of you hold in your hand the key to everything that God has ever wanted you to have. And if you would ask him for wisdom, if you feel like you're spiritually stupid in some areas, it's like, God, I think I'm spiritually stupid in this area. Well, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, I want to say this before I get into my last point. Some of you would say, man, why do you keep saying that word stupid? Well, it stings. It's good. And it's fun to say stupid every once in a while. But even Jesus, right? Jesus called people foolish. Luke 24:25, and he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Paul told the Galatians in Galatians chapter 3, you foolish Galatians, you foolish Galatians, why now do you think you're going to earn the salvation of God by working for it when it came by faith and grace? He said, you're being stupid, man. And so if we're being spiritually stupid, we have to own it. We have to say, you know what? I'm being spiritually stupid. Now, here's the end of this story. And so if you're blind, deaf, and dumb, and you're like, okay, where do I go from here? Here's the good news, right? We're going to leave you on an up. Preaching 101, send them out feeling good about themselves, okay? Tear them down, build them up, send them out. So the thing I love about Eli is that there's one saving grace to this story of all of it, of all of his destruction, and it's this. It says that when he fell over and he died, he didn't fall over and die when the people of Israel died. He didn't fall over and die when his sons died. Even the fact that his sons died, where it wasn't enough to knock him over. It was when he found out that the Ark of God was captured. See, because there was something inside of Eli that even through his blind, deaf, dumb person, he still had a love for the things of God. He had an awareness of what was the most important thing, and that was the things of God. And so it wrecked him at that moment where he was like, oh my gosh, man, this is the worst thing that the ark has been captured. And what does that mean to you is that if you listen to this message and you say, man, I think there's areas of my life where I'm blind, deaf, and dumb, and I'm right there with you, man. Please don't ever think that when I preach these sermons that I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching with you, okay? There's areas of my life where I'm blind, deaf, and dumb, and God's growing me in them. But like Eli, I want to just love the things of God, man. I really do. I just want to love the things of God. I may not understand it all, but I know that I love being around his people. I love fellowshipping with you. I love worshiping God. I love just being in his presence. I love hearing good Bible preaching, man. I love God's church. I love being in the presence of the assembly. And so when people challenge me and they say, well, you don't know this, or you don't know that, and I'm like, dude, I don't need to know all that, but what I do know is I love God. And I love the things that he does, and I love the being a part of what he is doing. And like Eli, I want to maintain that reverence of God, that reverence of what he does and what he provides. Now, the end of Eli was destruction, but I believe that for us, that we can live a life that we don't end badly. Amen? If we fight the spiritual blindness, deafness, and dumbness, and we love the things of God, then we can experience a great life in Christ. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 1:2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. I want to leave you with that today, to just love the things of God. Love everything that God has for you and see what he does with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you close your eyes? Would you bow your heads?